Invite you to make your way back to your seats. Those of you who haven't done so, if you're still out in the lobby, come on in and join us again. You can hold on to that, Kevin. Hold on to that. One of our, for several years now, we have begun the new year by taking the first morning and devoting it primarily to prayer, basically to prayer. Pray for the new year, pray for what God wants to do. And as I already mentioned just a few moments ago, that God has us in this place now where we're asking a lot of questions about the church, about, you know, what God is doing in our day. And so we've begun prayer times back in the beginning of December, Tuesday evenings, Friday evenings. And we wanted to bring some of those themes of what we sense God is challenging us with, kind of bring them into this morning. And so what I wanted to start with, you heard from Christopher this morning. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear just briefly from the elders, you know, from each of them, what they think God is emphasizing, doing, saying, prompting us with in this season. So, Kevin, you're holding the mic. We'll start, come on over here a little bit more into the light. And so I invite Kevin, and then Rick is going to share also.
One of the things that I've been very blessed with in the Tuesday night prayer times that I've been a part of in the month of December has been a focus on individual pursuit of God, individual responsibility in pursuing God and what God is saying to us individually. It's easy to say what is God saying to us as a church or what is God saying to other people, but really, God's heart and God's moving is really at the individual level. It's at the individual heart level. And one of the verses that has always been a favorite of mine has been Psalms 37:4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Many times we think of that verse as saying, whatever we have in our heart, God's going to meet that. God's going to take care of that. And that may be true, but I think through the season of prayer, is that God is giving us his desires, they become our desires. And that's what I've really been witnessing during the prayer time. I hear a lot of people praying individually, God, what do you want from me? What are you asking of me? What are you desiring of me? So it's a personal thing in walking out and praying Psalms 37:4. God, give me your desires. And then as you give me those desires, they become my desires, and it just goes back and forth. So be encouraged this year that as you pray and ask, God will give you his desires. God is giving us his desires.
Thank you. Hand that over to Rick. Come on over, Rick. Ask Rick to share just a few words also. You're free to go then, Kevin. I know you need help with the offering.
This whole thing takes me back to when we were a transition team 6 or 7 years ago. And that scripture was one of the first scriptures that came up. And it has been a recurring theme through this whole thing. It seems like every couple of days, I read something, I see something, somebody says something, God is doing a new thing. I believe that with all of my heart. We don't know what that is. We don't know what that looks like. But we know that it's God. And I want to say, as an elder, we are all in with this thing. The four of us are completely in agreement. We believe that this is God calling living hope to something new. And it's not just for the four of us. It's for all of us. The participation on Tuesday nights has been just phenomenal. I have to admit, I went in the first night thinking, well, if 10 people show up, that'll be good. There were over 40 people that showed up. And it's been that way every Tuesday. So I thank you for your willingness to participate, because it is something that we're all a part of. The things that I'm seeing, it's a little bit different than what Kevin's seeing. It is very personal. He's calling us each to a new place in him on a personal basis. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart." One of the themes that's come up very recently has been, we need to be separated from our flesh. We need to be separated from that soul part of us. And it's the Word of God and it's prayer that does that for us. We're, you know, I think we're so really deceived by the way that we live in this culture that we think we're all okay. And we can look at ourselves and say, well, I've got this behavior and this isn't good and I need to change this behavior. God wants to go so much deeper than that. If I think about what the root of my sin is, it's horrible. And I don't even know what that looks like. I was reading Andrew Murray recently, and he was talking about Peter's repentance. And he said, Peter was not able to repent for his failure until he saw who he really was. I really believe that's where God's calling us. And it's a very difficult place. It's a very frightening place. But it's God. It's what he wants. If he's going to have his church, if we're going to be a part of that, that's what we have to participate in. So, didn't mean to scare anybody, but that's me.
Thank you. We have been blessed by the participation on Tuesday nights, and this is not just about Tuesday nights or a promo for Tuesday nights or anything like that, but it feels to me like we're very early in a very significant journey, or we have taken some very small steps with many, many more to take. You know, we include prayer on a morning like this, and more so this morning than normal, but it really is a blessing just to get together with a group of people, and we devote at least an hour to just simply praying. And God is emphasizing scriptures that you've already heard about, these things of I think most of our time, if not all of our time, and the prayer times thus far have been prayers of repentance, where God has been saying a number of different things to us and highlighting, and I'll probably be sharing some of those in the weeks ahead. But like I said, this morning, we wanted to just kind of stay in that vein and maybe share a little bit of that with all of you as you're here this morning. Look, I get it. I know that evenings do not work for people. Maybe the days we pick don't work for you. And again, I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm, but I've really been blessed to be a part of it. And I think what God is doing is not just among leaders. It's among the body. And he's taking us somewhere, and we don't know where that is. Like, we don't know what that looks like, but God seems to be saying that he is wanting to do new things. In the church, and not just this church, but this is the one we're concerned about because it's the one, as leaders anyway, we're responsible for. So this morning's format is going to be really simple. I'm going to invite anyone who would like to come forward. If you have a scripture to share, that would be great. I think scripture keeps our prayers grounded in very healthy places. If you have a scripture to share and then maybe a prayer to share with that, that would be great. This here is, if you want to come up and put your Bible here, this is here for that. The other thing is, as we begin, I would invite those of you who have been a part of the Tuesday evening gatherings, if any of you would want to come up and just, again, very briefly, share just maybe a sentence or two of what you see God doing there, and then maybe a scripture. God has highlighted a number of scriptures in our times together, and a number of you, it's not uncommon for someone to read a scripture when we're together, and someone else will say, I was just ready to read that one. That's the one that God drew my attention to also. So as we begin, if there are any of you who have been a part of that, would like to share any, again, very brief reflections or a scripture, and then if you want to pray, that would be great. And other than that, yeah, the mic is open up here. Again, we just wanted to give the morning to prayer. Like, what is your desires? What are your desires for the year ahead, for yourself as an individual, for Living Hope as a church? And again, with Kevin's challenge that, you know, we should continually be in this place as followers of Christ of testing, weighing our desires with what God's desires are. And the easy way to do that, quote, easy, it's not easy, but is to delight ourselves in him, as Kevin shared in that scripture. I love that scripture as well. As we delight ourselves in him, then his desires become our desires, and then it pleases him to fulfill our desires, because they're his desires. Okay, Ron, stop talking. Who wants to come up first? Just invite you to come up and share. It looks like Greg is ready. Come on up, Greg. Let me turn this on. I have this in a stand here so you don't have to hold it. Just step right up to the microphone, as the song says.
This is really interesting. A number of years ago, when I began opening up the church for prayer, Tuesday mornings and evenings, then...
Sorry.
It's all right. I'll move it out. And God gave me a picture. It was very clear what's happening in the evenings, people gathering for prayer. It was a very clear picture. But he said, don't share it with people. Just, it'll happen. So I thought it was going to happen right away, and it didn't. It took 3 or 4 years. But anyway, it's happening. And I can see things so clearly, what God is doing. And it is a new thing. It is a new thing when people gather for prayer and the Word. This week, it was very clear when I was praying about, you know, Lord, what do you want? The word that came up in a devotion I read is blueprint. Blueprint. You can't build a house without a blueprint. You can't follow instructions without a blueprint for building something. So this is the God's blueprint for us. The Word is God's blueprint. And the Scripture is very clear. We need to, in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then the last equipment that we need to put on in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation is protecting your brain, your thoughts. You know, that's where we get out from under God's plans, our thoughts. We do our own thing. And then the Word of God is really significant. And a challenge for me this week, and I'll share it with you, is that every time you eat a meal, ask yourself, Lord, what did you give me today spiritually from your Word? What have I read from your Word that I can take with me? Every time you eat this week, think about that. What did God teach me today about the Word? That's the blueprint for our life. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for being the author of your word to us. It's our blueprint for living. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would take us deeper in our relationship. Take me deeper in my relationship with you so that when I eat a meal, that I will be asking you, oh, Lord, what did you teach me today? And then offer thanksgiving to the Lord for his faithfulness. Oh, Lord, help us to receive that fresh manna every day and to hunger and thirst for your word and to worship you as we hang out with you. Help us not to be one-sided, just eat and no spiritual food, but to have that balance, that healthy balance in diet of your word and physically food. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who's next? Okay, John is coming. There's just you'll see there aren't really sermon notes, but there's a space there on that side of the program. As different scriptures are highlighted, as the Lord is highlighting scriptures, I just encourage you to jot them down. And I was going to say that if you come up and share a scripture, I would prefer you give the reference before you share it. And then if you want, just jot that scripture down. You can go back and review them in the days ahead.
Okay. I just want to pick up on what Kevin was saying. The body of Christ functions on two levels, the individual level and the corporate level. And the body of Christ moves and advances and progresses and makes ground in overcoming as individuals do. So this is an individual call to all of us. And I just want to read a scripture to you. In the church for so long, we've had this clergy-laity distinction that has held sway in the church for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's really not biblical at all. Okay, we are all called to the same thing. We are all called to overcome. We are all called to be shepherds. We are all called to shepherd other people, to disciple people. We're all called to intercession. We're all called to everything. And for so long, it's just been the pastor, okay? And we pay him, he's up here, and he does it all, and we're just the sheep. No, we're all called to the same level of commitment and dedication and spiritual activity as the pastor. I just want to read a scripture to you out of 2 Peter. It goes like this. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? Make your calling and election sure. We are all called. If you weren't called, you wouldn't be here today. We're all called primarily. Your primary call in life is to the Father, is to Jesus Christ in relationship to him. We all get this thing mixed up. Well, my calling is to be, there's various callings. My wife is called to be a nurse. I'm called to be a counselor. Ron's called to be a pastor. Some are called to be to work in the building trades. So we all have various callings, and they're good. They're necessary. They're important callings. You know, I'm called to be a father. You know, now I'm called to be a grandfather. Okay, so there's important callings, but the primary calling in life, in the direction and the passion of your life, has to be your relationship to the Father. And as you pour yourself into that intimacy with Jesus Christ and the Father, all these other callings will be affected by it. They will flow out of it. Okay? So when we talk about what God is doing, what's coming up, what's coming up is probably the greatest revival of all time. It's the double portion anointing. When the church first started, we had an anointing. All the gifts of God are in operation. All the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are in operation. That's all going to replay again. And it's going to be at a double portion, much greater level than at the beginning of the church. The wine that's being saved, the best wine, Jesus is saving the best wine for last. And that is at the end of the church age. So my point is this. Don't minimize yourself. Seek God about, seek him in relationship. And as you do, your calling in him, your vocational calling, or especially your spiritual calling, your ministry calling in the body of Christ will flow out of that. Say so that's what I wanted to share. So don't minimize yourself. God has something for every person. Every person that's a member of the body of the Messiah has an eternal role, an eternal purpose. And it starts here and continues on. For many people, much of the fruit of their calling will be in eternity, but it starts here. So don't minimize yourself. Say, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the elder. I'm not, you know, I don't have a super calling. You do. I do counseling, and when I do deliverance work, I call a group of intercessors to pray with me. They're very valuable. I mean, I have been able to do many things because there's people praying behind me when I'm in a session with somebody. Okay, so don't minimize yourself. And every person is significant. Every person is called. Okay, thank you.
That was 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11, if you wanted to check that out. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Okay, Cheryl.
And then Matthew 4, 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." And then one more in Joshua 1:8. This is a command. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So what he's been laying on my heart, and I believe it's for the body of Christ at large, is this call going out to return to me, return to my word. This is our instruction. It is our blueprint. It is the manual that will guide us, strengthen us, and help us in the days to come. At the entrance of his word comes light, comes revelation. Many of the times, as I am reading this, the Spirit of the Lord will begin to lay something on my heart, and I'll get understanding to something that I'm seeking him about, something that maybe I didn't know how to do or what to do. And as I'm just reading the word, and I'm not just reading it to check off my list, I'm reading it. I'm really reading it, digging in. I'm not in a hurry. And he begins to open things up to me. And one of the things that I feel like he's saying is we've got to increase our time in the word. Day and night. So I know for me and my family, I feel like every one of us, there are three areas. And you're probably strongest in one area. That would be in the word of God. The second area would be prayer. And the third area would be worship. For me, it's always been the word. When he got a hold of me, he put such a hunger in my heart. I felt like I was starved. And I would spend 8 hours. I don't have that time anymore, but in the beginning, I did. And I'm just telling you that there is something that will transform our lives. As he does the work in us, as we put the bread inside of us, it begins to change and to shift something in us, and it will prepare us. And I believe all three areas, the word, worship, and prayer, can be cultivated where they are all equally strong in our lives. But in this season, I encourage us, open up the word, read, and allow God to do the work. You don't even have to do the work. Just read. Just read. And now when I'm reading it out loud so that I'm also hearing it. So, Father, I thank you that you loved us enough. You gave us your word. And your word became flesh and he dwelt among us and his name is Jesus. I thank you for the word, Jesus. I ask that you would create such a hunger in us, God, that we can't even stir that up ourselves. So we humble ourselves before you today and we say, would you please make us hungry? So hungry for your word and for the things of your kingdom. Show us who you are and what your desires are, God. Let your word work in us according to your will, your purpose, and your desire. And we love you. And by faith and obedience, we will read your word in Jesus' name.
Just on the heels of what everybody was saying, just thought I'd offer a challenge. We're 6 days in the new year. Come up with a reading plan. And it's like Cheryl said, it's not just to check off a box every day, but it's to spend time with God. For me, I'm a planner. I need some structure to kind of achieve that. And in time, God gives you the hunger to actually want to do that. But I've started this year, and just like I said earlier, I started in Genesis. We're 6 days in. You can easily catch up if you want to read through the scripture in a year. It's three chapters. It's roughly three chapters a day and five on Sunday. If you just want to read the New Testament this year or Psalms, whatever God's laying on your heart, but I would encourage you to commit to the Lord, to read his word and to pray through it and to pray out loud and to pray through it and to worship God through it, to dwell. Maybe it's just a plan to read the Psalms in the year. And I guess jumping the gun a little bit, but you have some things. So Pastor Ron, maybe I'll address something a little bit later. But just a challenge to us as individuals, that's something you can do. But this journey, it's like John said, we're on this together. There's an individual journey, but there's also a corporate journey that we're on together. So if you're committing to something, tell somebody so they can ask you about it and follow up. Maybe you can find somebody that will commit to the same thing together, and you can get together for coffee and discuss it once a week or something. But let's do this together and challenge ourselves personally and others to be in the Word, to know the Word, to learn and to know God this year.
I'm looking, excuse me, I'm looking at Psalms 32, and then I'll read a scripture in Isaiah. For me, I've been on a journey of in December, I always kind of pull back and reevaluate my life and stuff like that. for me, I'm more of a steady person, and I don't like change. But I'm being challenged more and more by the Lord that I need to come out of my comfort zone. And so I'm reading Psalm 32 here to us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And then I'm turning to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, 18 has been a scripture that has challenged me often. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. For some people, it's a fearful thing to become quiet before the Lord and have them look at their hearts and see what's really there. But I challenge all of us to realize that God wants to come to us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be his hiding place. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And I just want to challenge all of us to, again, come to that place where we say, "Lord, whatever it is, I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I want to trust you completely with my life, God. I want you to be the person who's solely in charge of all that I am and all that I should be doing. And I will trust you for counsel because you are my hiding place. And I want you to deliver me from whatever it is that is holding me back. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen."
I was reading yesterday, and this scripture popped up, and I was really excited. I've read the scriptures many times, but I think yesterday I felt that the Lord like opened my eyes and let me see just more than I just read, you know. So I wanted to share. It's talking about when the 72 or 70, depends on the translation, came back from the Lord sending them and doing all these things. So it's Luke 10, 17, 20. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the part that like spoke to me was, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So many times we live lives that are defeated with fear, trembling because the enemy is around us, and he's, I don't know, planning to like destroy us, and he is. But like when I read this, I felt like, wow, God, we have such little understanding of the power of the authority that you have given us. So I was just praying that we would understand when we read the scripture that he indeed has given us authority over all of the power of the enemy. So I don't know if anybody needed to hear that today, but know that. Don't be afraid. God has given you the authority. So I wanted to pray now for that. Lord, I thank you that you speak to us. I thank you that even though we read the word every day and it's the same word, God, that you make it new and you bring things up that just are revealing to us. And I want to ask you, Lord, that if any of us is struggling with fear, with defeat, that we will walk in the authority, Lord, that you have given us, the power that you have given us, Lord, that you gave us. We are not just coming up with this power that we think we have, but it's an authority that you gave us, Lord. So help us to walk in it. Lord, help us to not live lives defeated and with fear, but with victory, Lord, and authority in your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
If you are, Belinda, you can come up to the front if you want. If others of you are kind of waiting, you can just come and wait in line here.
One of the things that I love about God's word is that it doesn't matter how many times you read through it, there's always verses that just slip right under the radar and then pop out at you like, whoa, I never noticed that one before. But I don't know about you guys, but God's really been convicting me recently just how addicted to distraction I am. There's so many distractions in this world. The worries, riches, and pleasures always manage to grow up around me and try to strangle me. So God used a proverb recently to speak to me. Proverb 15:21. It says, folly delights a man who lacks judgment. And as you know, the proverbs usually come in two parts that are opposite of each other. But a man of understanding keeps a straight course. So keeping a straight course is like the opposite of folly. So folly, it's like being distracted, turning from your course, turning from the straight course towards your goal, whether it be intimacy with God, maintaining your family, pursuing what God has told you to pursue. Folly is distraction. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment. And God's convicted me of how much just letting go of that single-mindedness and pursuing distraction has become my delight. And that's something that this new year I want to renounce with everything in me. I want to do the uncomfortable thing and focus on one thing. Focus on what God has for me, on the purposes and the destiny he's placed in front of me. A man of understanding keeps a straight course towards his goal, his destination. And no matter how comfortable and how delightful the distractions appear. It's too high of a price to pay. We can't give in to the comfort, to the promises that are all empty. We have to be single-minded and pursue our destiny, pursue righteousness, pursue intimacy with God.
This morning when we were praising God right from the beginning of it, there was an incredible intimacy with him in this place with each one of us, and he had an angel behind each one of us, and the angel had his arm around us and his other hand was raised worshiping God. We actually joined with the angels this morning in worshiping our God. The other thing is, God has been speaking to me. He put me on vacation for 3 weeks in South Africa. It was awesome, but I'm back in the mood mode of things here. But he was talking to me about Babel, and the man got together to build this tower because they thought they could get to God this way, and God brought confusion and division by languages. And he's been talking to me, do I have a Babel in my life? A Babel can be a tower, can be religion, tradition, self. Anything that we put above God becomes is a Babel in our lives. So it's the case. I've been asking him to bring down anything in me that is not of him, because I live for him and him alone. And he's been talking to me also about layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And I've always thought, and this is probably where Babel came in, layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And he said, no, it's layer upon layer, precept upon precept. We have to get into the depth of who our God is. And then we've got to climb the mountain of God, and he will take us to a place where we are, like we rise, Isaiah 40 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And he says, we have to do that. We have to learn to rise above everything in him. And we have to rise up with wings of eagles. He's given it to us. And he says, too, that when you rise like an eagle, you will look down, and you will see how mighty our God is, where he's brought us. And that's where he wants to take us this year. He wants to take us deeper in him and higher in him, if that makes sense. But that is what his plan is for us. And just by FYI, an eagle is the bird that flies the highest in the atmosphere. No other bird can handle the atmosphere that an eagle flies in. And that is where we're supposed to soar with him.
I have my fingers in three spots in here. I hope I can not lose them. I have the privilege every day at work of fellowshipping with senior saints. And by seniors, I don't mean people like me in their 60s. I mean people in their 80s and 90s. And as is common this time of year, we looked back because it's the end of the year. We look ahead because it's the beginning of the year. And something came out in our devotion time this week that I thought might be apropos to share right here. We were looking at, okay, we celebrated Jesus' birth, but what happened soon after that? And soon after, according to the law, find my spot. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is from Luke 2:25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now, myself included, and everyone else in the room at that time, we were all Gentiles. We found out my family has a little Jewish ancestry, but for all intents and purposes, we are all Gentiles. Now, if you think of the context of that, that is profound. To say that in the Hebrew temple at that time, a light of revelation, a light, wait, let me get it right, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And then, because we were looking back and we're looking forward, in our devotions, we often look forward. And we look forward to the book of Revelation. And it says this three times, and I'll read one passage that says about the same thing. And this is from Revelation 7, 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they all fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. They worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Part of our devotion time together with these senior saints is worship. And worship is something that obviously we'll be doing for a long time. But we were talking about yesterday about something that we can't do, if you can believe that there's something we can't do when we get to that throne. And this is what we cannot do. This is something that we were given to do now. This is from Matthew 28. 16. And then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, there to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority and in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that is something, that Great Commission is something we can't do around the throne. We need to do it now. And I really hope that that is a part. I don't doubt that that's a part of where the Lord's leading us. But I just wanted to share that along with what our senior saint said. Thank you.
Read from the book of Ephesians is actually a Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. It's chapter 3, beginning verse 14 through verse 21, so it's kind of a long period here, but it begins by saying, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." The power for us to live and learn to love as Christ loves comes through the Spirit, which is mentioned in verse 16 here, because it transforms the inner man. And we should realize that we have a God that loves us beyond comprehension. We should realize the knowledge that we have about God's love for us as believers in the church is to seek out that love that God has for each one of us, to seek out the Holy Spirit's guidance within our hearts, to be able to realize what it means to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I interpret that passage simply as the love that God has for us is above all that we can ever ask or think or comprehend. I just praise God for this. And thank you. Amen.
I'm just thinking here as we're getting close to the end of our time. Would there be a few people that would come up to pray a prayer specifically for Living Hope? I know we've been talking about, you know, a lot of different things. Is there a prayer on your heart this morning for this body for this year? If there is, I'd invite you to share that.
Father, you are holy and righteous and good and merciful, and we thank you for all you are doing in our lives and in this church and in this body. We glorify your name because you alone are God, and we lift your name up above all others because you alone are holy. We thank you that you love us and that you come down and minister to us over and over and over, and that you created us to be in this world that you love and that you care about. Father, may you continue to stir us up and move our hearts to see the things that you want to see, that our heart would beat the way that your heart beats, and that above all, Father, that people would just see you, because when they look at us, we're a magnifying glass for you. We're a spotlight for you and your goodness and kindness. Father, I bless this group. I bless this church. I bless it with whatever you want. I don't pray specifics, Father. I just pray that more of you would come in and fill us and give us life. Amen.
One of the things that I feel God has highlighted through the prayer times has been unity and love amongst Living Hope. The scripture I have for that is Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking in the truth of love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. And then Colossians 3:14. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Through each prayer night that I've been involved in, love and unity has come up. And it's been a desire of my heart to see in Living Hope, and I know that there are others who have a desire for unity and in the body of Christ. And I just wanted to testify to the prayer nights. I was a little bit perplexed that after leaving a prayer night that I felt more unity with fellow believers than I ever have, and we didn't even talk. So it was just interesting to feel that unity just from gathering to pray together, and I can't help but think that that's why the disciples gathered to pray so often, and that's how they were unified. So I just want to pray that over Living Hope. Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for this journey that you have us on, Father. Lord, summers ago, we dug into who you've called us to be as individuals, Lord, and now you're calling us to unity and to repentance, Father. Lord, and we just ask that you would just continue to lead us in your love, that your love would cast out all fear, Father, and that you would just continue to grow your love within us, Father, and as our love grows, Father, our unity will grow. And Lord, we just thank you for the plans and purposes you have for us. We thank you for your perfect will, and we just ask that you would continue to lead us in your light and your love. Amen.
God just gave me two images. One is of a caterpillar trying to fly when it's naturally impossible for a caterpillar to fly. Another is once the chrysalis is broken and the butterfly comes forth and it spends a while letting its wings unfurl. I just pictured this butterfly fully capable of flight, maintaining the mindset of a caterpillar. We have been empowered and indwelled by the Spirit, and yet so many of us still have the mindset of a caterpillar, in which flight is death. I don't know if we're in denial that we have wings, or we just don't believe it, but we're able to fly as a body and as individuals. We have wings. We have been reborn. So my challenge to myself and to every one of you is to wake up each morning and say, what if everything I say I believe is true? How would I live? Dare yourself to act as if everything you profess about God is true, and everything he says about you is true, and live like it. Dare to be courageous. Dare to step out in faith on the water, even though you know by yourself you would sink. And take off like a butterfly should. Lord God, I pray for courage. I pray for faith. Faith full of action, full of flight. Faith that takes action on what we say believe. Lord, you have given us everything we need. I pray that we would dare to act on it, that we would dare to love, that we would dare to be courageous, that we would dare to live. Amen.
Thank you, David. There may be more of you who have a prayer to share. Pray that prayer whenever you have opportunity. Whatever God is putting on your heart for Living Hope, this morning gave you a little bit of a window into some of the things that are going on. And as we pray, as we look to God, as we ask for his will, for him to reveal what he has for us. It's going to be a great year. Two things, or just one thing really, very quickly. A couple people mentioned time in the Word, and we just want to encourage you again, the beginning of this year. It's so important that we be in the Word. I'm sure there are a number of you that already, you have your deal. Like you have your plan, you have your routine, you have whatever it is you're doing. Keep doing that. If it's fruitful, keep doing that. If you're looking for help, we have two actual reading guides here laying at the front of the stage. One of them will get you through the entire Bible in a year if you follow the schedule. Now, if it takes you 18 months, that's okay. But what I like about this one is it actually takes you to four different places of the Scripture every day, rather than just starting in Genesis and reading through the end, because I know when people start in Genesis, sometimes when they get to like Leviticus and Numbers, it really gets difficult. But this has you in the New Testament, in Acts, in Psalms, and in the Old Testament every day. And it's a five-day-a-week plan, so your schedule is only set up for 5 days out of the week. So that's available here, actually printed out. I have about 25 on each side of the stage. If you're saying, Ron, like, there's just no way. That's way too much reading for me. Like, if you're at the place where you basically have never developed a discipline of reading the Word, first of all, you must. If you're looking for a simpler tool, this is a New Testament reading plan. I don't know if you can see the numbers. It just says 5-5-5 across the front. It's 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and then there's five things that it suggests are ways to dig deeper as you're reading. But this is a much, much smaller amount of reading. It'll get you through the New Testament in the year. So that's printed out. You'll see in your program, I listed a number of places you can find online reading guides. I mean, on the internet, you can find gazillions. There's reading guides. There's some apps on there that you can put on your phone that contain reading guides. So if you're looking for a reading guide, there's a couple of them out there at the welcome desk that are always out there. One will get you through the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Proverbs in a year, and the other one will get you through the entire Bible in a year as well. So I'm just going to leave them up here. If you want to grab one of those on your way out, please do that. We're just going to end the morning going back to one song in worship. If you guys want to come up again. It's about that time that if one parent would be willing to slip out and retrieve your student, the children's ministers would probably appreciate that. Ethan, you're back there, right? Can you put up the lyrics to the song they're going to sing? What's it called again? Breathe On. No, Heal Our Land. Is that what it is? Yeah. Can you bring up those lyrics, Ethan? Heal Our Land. Go on to the next one then. Go on to the next slide from there. Just stay right there for a moment. Back in the early part of September when we first started this journey of like, what is God saying to the church? What is the church supposed to look like? Are we even close to God's desire? One morning we sang these words and I'm like, that's it. It doesn't have to get any more complicated than this. Spirit of God, breathe on your church. Pour out your presence. Speak through your word. Now advance to the next one, please, Ethan. We pray in every nation, Christ be known, our hope and salvation, Christ alone. I'm going to invite you to stand as we close with this prayer, one more prayer for the morning, that the Spirit of God would breathe on the church. And as a result of the changes he makes in us and in the church, Christ is known in every nation. That's the bottom line. For Christ to be known. It's not just about us being revived, it's about our revival, as several have mentioned, that for other people to see that. So, okay, team.
We take our lives, flawed yet beautiful, restore, revive. Lord, you're merciful, redeem, revive, Spirit of God, breathe on your church, pour out your presence, speak through your word, we pray. Christ alone, you bow, you are, as the visions fall, one church, one bride. Voice, we cry, Spirit of God,
Jesus, would you alone be magnified, exalted, glorified in our lives, in this church, in the church, all across the planet? God, I just want to take a minute yet before we go to pray a blanket prayer, if you will, over each person here in this room right now. God, we could take hours to hear the stories from every individual of what this coming year may hold for them. I'm sure we could all list things that we're maybe a little concerned about in the coming year. Maybe some of us are considering or maybe fearing a job change or some other stage of life that we're not sure about. Others are probably looking ahead to things maybe they're like super excited about and really looking forward to with anticipation. God, I pray that no matter what is on our list for the year, and we have to acknowledge that we're relatively clueless about what the year holds. We may have some thoughts. But God, I pray that no matter what it is, the words of John the Baptist when he said that I must decrease. So Jesus can increase. God, I pray that no matter what it is, we would be asking ourselves, how can I decrease so that Jesus can increase? In the difficult things in life, how can Jesus increase in those? How can I surrender more to him? In the joyous things in life, how can I decrease in them and give him glory and see him magnified? And God, in the thing that we all deal with probably the most, and that is the mundane, day-to-day, normal routine stuff of life, whether it's going to work, caring for kids, whatever it is, show us how we can decrease and you can increase, even in the simplest and most mundane activities of our life. We pray that this would be a year of increase for you, Jesus, that you would increase and that we would be willing to do the decrease to make room for that. So I pray your blessing on every person here. I pray your blessing on Living Hope. I pray your blessing on the church in Lancaster County, the church in Pennsylvania, the United States, around the world, God, that we would seek you this year in a way we never have before. And we would be listening for your voice and what you're saying to us as individuals and as a body. So thank you for our time together this morning, God. I pray your blessing on everyone here. And as we go from here into a new year, very early in this new year, God, direct our steps. Would you direct our steps and help us to walk in obedience? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for being here this morning. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. If there's any way we can pray with you, as always, we would be happy to do that. Just let us know. And as a reminder, the reading guides are up front here if you want to grab one of them on your way out.